Well, good morning and welcome everybody to another edition of Rowing Chat. I'm Rebecca Caro, and this month I'm joined by Mark O'Donovan. Mark, welcome to Rowing Chat.
Thanks very much, Rebecca, and thank you for having me. So I'm really looking forward to tonight, and I hope our listeners get a fair bit of knowledge and stories from what I have to say.
So please tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your personal history in the sport of rowing.
So I'm a rower from Skibbereen and I'm 27 years old. So I've been rowing since 2000. So I've been rowing 16 years and I've represented Skibbereen for many of them, and then I was representing different colleges as I went through, and even Tideway Scholars over in England, and I've been around the place. And so currently I'm training out of the National Rowing Centre, which is based in Askara, and we've got a great team set up here. So I've been based here since 2009, and I have been doing my degree in Cork Institute of Technology, CIT, and I did a mechanical engineering degree at the time, into full-time training straight away after that, and I had some good progress along the way, so that would have brought me into my under-23 age group. And then I actually took a year out further down the line, and then that's when I did a master's in sports performance in the University of Limerick, and I'm back down to the National Rowing Centre in Cork, which we call the real capital. We don't like to associate Dublin as the real capital. Cork people are rebellious that way, so we're very proud of what we have and what we're able to produce down in Cork. So that leads me to here right now. So I'm just working part-time and training full-time.
Fantastic. Now, I first got to know you thanks to your blog, and you write about strength and conditioning for rowing. What was the inspiration behind starting that?
It was actually a coach that I'd well respect inside in Munster Rugby, where we gained a lot of experience, and he was head of the academy at the time, and he was just working. I was working alongside him, just either lads or else the underage group. So with all their gym sessions and some pitch sessions as well. So I was doing a lot of experience with Robbie, and I was just trying to how I could make myself better, get my development going. And he always said he always wanted to do a blog himself, so he kind of ended up persuading me to do one, and haven't looked back since. I know there's not a whole lot of information on it, but it's continuously being added to it, and it's rowing specific, and a lot of it is from a science-based approach but also a practical base, so it's not completely, what's being practiced in a high performance setup.
And I think that is an enormous area of interest, because those of us who are not in the high performance setup have never been there have no idea what it's actually like. So for me, the insight that I get from your writing and from the really good photographs, which I compliment you on, because a lot of bloggers don't use good photography.
Thanks very much. I know I photograph well for my blog. All right, so I'll have to thank one of the girls in the office here for, I bombarded her to take a few photos with me there one day. Jeez, it took a while, but I have a great collection, so I can always go back to those photos, so I can continue to do different things like rehab or just the main exercise. So and try and show the good and the bad. And obviously I want to try and show the good. So hopefully my views are, or my pictures are showing what I'd like to call good posture and technique. So.
And that's so important. When someone is trying to learn something new, particularly a physical thing, having a clear picture in your mind of what the correct posture is very, very important. So any coaches who are listening, I commend the blog to you. Do you want to just give the URL?
I'll just have to get it there and so I don't get the wrong one.
Well, Mark's just looking that up. I will say that it's well worth going back to the very beginning of his blog in order to read the very first articles, because quite a few of them run in a series. So the URL he's just put up is odonovanmark.wordpress.com. So moving on the theme of your obvious interest in strength and conditioning training with specificity for rowing, we've had a question in from Gary Anderson, who is from Wilmington, North Carolina, and the Cape Fear River Rowing Club. And he asks, assuming the use of complementary forms of exercise benefits the rower, which activities do you consider best for developing those large muscle groups which need this focus?
So obviously, if we're looking at the large muscle groups, we want the best bang for buck, and they're generally going to be overall body orientated. So we're going to be looking generally squat, RDL, deadlift. You can't go wrong with them. If you do them right, you're pretty much hitting everything you want to be doing. So they could be down in your core exercises, whereas you can always add in. So they're for the big muscle groups. So you'd always kind of want to, if you're doing a 3 or 4 exercise, it just in the one session, always have one upper body. So just add in the chins, because either have your palms facing towards you or else away, and you'll get a great load, but it'll be very quick. So Have a look through the blog, and I think after covering the squat already, I should have some photos up on it and some coaching points on it. It'll be very hard to give a little bit of coaching cues, because you'll have to be there with an athlete to show, give an error, and then you have to give a cue to fix it. But I would always stick to the squat, RDL, and deadlift. They're just your bang for buck exercises. You can always add in some single leg work, because always, I know we're always pushing off one double leg at the same time, but you know, when we're sweeping, we could all, and even some scholars, they might be one leg dominant. So you would want to add in some single leg work, but it's the squat is what's going to get you strong more than a single leg exercise.
Mark, what's RDL? It's not a word I'm familiar with.
Sorry. An RDL is a Romanian deadlift, or as some coaches would call it, a semi-straight leg deadlift. It originated in Eastern European, obviously, with the Romanian. And it's your hamstring, your rear superior chain, or lower back, strings, and it's with stability as well. So it's quite important for those seeing as they rock over. And it is.
We're getting quite a lot of sound interference. Can you turn your video off and see if we can get the audio quality up? Thank you. So moving on, John Hill, who's in Oxford in the UK from Falcon RICC, has asked, what relevance does the bench press have to developing a successful rower?
press isn't the be-all and end-all of a rowing performance. Unfortunately, John's probably a little bit annoyed with that because he wants to. Most athletes or coaches, they love staying on the bench press, and it's not a true measure of strength. It may be for people who love the gym, but obviously rowing is driven by your legs. You do need a powerful or a strong upper body to hold what your legs are putting out. But I would stick to the basics of your squat, RDL, chins and deadlift, and the bench. Make sure it's in there, but a supplement exercise than primary focus.
Do you want to go into a bit more detail about other arm exercises? I get your focus on those core four.
So, obviously, likewise with our legs, we want to be going through single arm work as well as both arms at the same time. So like we can do our bench press with the bar, or we can do our bench press with the dumbbells, and it's obviously brilliant if we can add in dumbbells as well because we got that instability. So that would be a push to do a single arm row. You can always do a bent over row with the bar, which is both arms at the same time, but it always is great to switch up a program because variety is a spice of life, and we want to get as well. So that would be a push and a pull. You could add in pressing as well over the head, which could just be a military press or a dumbbell. It could be you could do it from half kneeling, fully standing, a split stance, or else seated. So there's numerous ways of mixing up exercises, but I will always have a variety of using both your legs at the same time and a single leg work, and both your arms at the same time and single arm work, just to get the most bang for buck and make sure the athlete doesn't become one side dominant, whereas you would see in, I'm going back to sweeping again. A lot of people who sweep are going to be a little bit lopsided. And I'd always see coaches going on coaching courses, and some people will complain that they have problems they were never really looking after themselves when they were rowing in their youth, and they're always on one side fixed. So it's either bow side or stroke side. And then they have a little bit of a kink in the spine, so if they were able to look after themselves better or being given the knowledge to do a little bit more gym work and doing the right type of gym work, supervised and everything, they should highly reduce the chance of that ever happening.
That's really clear. Thank you. Now, earlier on, you used the word cues to explain ways of teaching weightlifting to rowers. Can you explain what is a cue?
The cue, it's probably the art of coaching. Cue must be teaching someone instead of telling what you visually want to see. You can sometimes cue them into thinking about it differently. It depends on the type of person and how they respond to you, and everyone's has to be treated differently. Every individual is different. But if I would say an athlete during the squat, for instance, I'll pick an easy one now so everyone can understand me. So when an athlete isn't getting the full depth and actually sitting back on the heels at the bottom of the squat, which we would like to see of the squat, having the pressure is in heels more so than being in the midfoot or towards your toes. So if you can see, if you could imagine they're going up onto their toes during their squat, but they can't register that that is happening, you might have a simple cue of sit back as if you're sitting on a chair. And sometimes instantly it would change an athlete to reach out with their glutes as if they were trying to touch a chair. And sometimes it fixes it, other times it doesn't. And that's where you reassess and go with a different cue.
That's really clear. So for coaches who are finding their message isn't getting across, experimenting with different cues may be a helpful way to overcome this.
Absolutely. For myself, I'm also being coached on water because I'm so determined to move well in the weights room. I'd be very body aware of my positioning. So my coach would always kind of the oar as the bar in the gym, and how I should be picking it up is where I'd be feeling it on a certain muscle or muscle groups rather than sometimes a different type of a feeling where someone might be feeling something better, or not slightly better, but a different feeling of the water, whereas I sometimes would be better at feeling it through what muscles are working and what's not. So different people respond differently. So I hope that's a question.
Wonderful. Now we're going to move on to a question that's come in from James from Boston in Lincolnshire. Sorry, Jason James. And Boston has asked about training zones. Now, most listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the concept of UT2 and UT3, or steady state, as it was called in the old days. And what he asks is this: training at UT2 or UT3 feels too easy when sticking to appropriate heart rate zones. Is this right?
Sounds like Jason. Really gifted if it feels easy or if it feels too low. So I would count up there, and we could always want to be like Jason. If I want to clarify Jason's when you treat is that most people, or some people call it LSE, long low distance, or as the scientific word is, over threshold 2, says zone should be, but you're always able to clear the amount of lactate you're producing at it pretty much. So you'll never be producing more than 2.1 or 2.2 minimals of lactate. So I would suggest either get a physiologist in, or else some coaches may have them anyway, a lactate analyzer, and be able to check that amount of lactate is being produced in the system. So if it is feeling too light, it may be that he's already adapted over the certain period of time since he got tested last. So let's say he got tested in November, December, and his zone was 150 to 160 on his heart rate beats. And then he kept doing the steady state, loads of miles over the winter. And in February, he's not going to have the same heart rate zones, or they will have changed because of adaptation. So you always need to kind of retest every couple of months, just to make sure you're not far out of sync. And if it's possible, try and get in someone with a bit of knowledge, either be a very experienced student, they love to do the work, or else try and go for a or a registered physiologist.
So talk me through, how do you test and establish heart rate zones? Because I understand that every athlete is different. And so if the coach is suggesting the zone range of 150 to 165 for all of the athletes, I'm guessing that could be incorrect. So how do you test for each individual's heart rate zones?
You would have to do either a step test, where you'd be, generally the protocol is 6 to 7 stages and it's 4 minutes a block. And I think it's 30 seconds off the block. I could try and check that out just to make sure. But like you would start off extremely, extremely light. It would be at a pace that would be under what you would be warming up at usually on a rowing machine or when you're going out on the water. So there'd be no lactate in the system. So you start off really light and then each increment would step up on wattage. And then if you wanted to do the last one at max, generally you can work it up, but you kind of want to get a profile. It's rising over those 6 to 7 stages, and it will give you, you can correlate it with your heart rate, and also you can start seeing where the 2 your lactate turn point is, which is like 4 minimals, and that's where when you pass that, you can't start clearing that as quick as it's being produced. But you also get great information of your threshold and your max and everything from a step test. The other way of testing it is just having a lactate analyzer or test protocol of the 6 or 7 stages of the 4 minute box is just doing, let's say generally a lot of people may do 6K steady state, 3 6Ks and 90 second rest, or else 3 20-minute pieces at steady state with 60 or 90 minutes rest. And all you need to do is after each one, always take a prick from the ear, because if you're taking it from the fingers, you're just going to bleed everywhere. So make sure if someone's new and come in, ask them, make sure they take it from the ear rather than the finger.
That sounds like good advice. Now, tell me a little bit about your own personal training, because obviously you're in the Irish national team at the moment. Do you use heart rate zones for your training?
I would, yes. Yeah. I would very religiously wear my heart rate monitor, and I'd always just be looking down, and it's quite handy just to have a guideline, because there's a lot of variance with day-to-day life and the time of day, and let's say you're stressed, it happens to everyone, so you gotta factor in these things. And also a good one for lightweights or someone who may be efficient, if you're quite low on calories, or as you say, muscle glycogen, if your muscle glycogen is low, you won't be producing lactate or enough lactate to start going up to the 2.1 in the steady state. So you will be pushing as hard as you can, yet nothing's happening. So that's you just get on a machine or get out of the boat and recover. I always wear my heart rate monitor in the boat or on the rowing machine. And I find on the concept too, they have great little heart rates that go onto the screen, and it's a handy way of keeping record of everything. Then when you have your heart rate going onto the screen, it's much easier to see that than a watch. Personal preference.
Fantastic. Now, our next question is from Elizabeth Kowalki, who's in Rochester, New York at the Pittsford Crew. And Elizabeth asks, do you include mental training with novices? And if so, how do you introduce it? And what do you find most effective for this kind of training?
That's a very good question. And I've been working with mental training. But, if I was to implement something for a crew, if you're working with novices, I would be of the opinion just to make sure that they're doing the basics right, and you want to get the rowing technique, and you want to get them strong, and you want to get them fit, and make sure that they're able to eat right and recover properly. But if you're going to look at some mental training, patient would be a great place to start. So if an athlete or a group of athletes can imagine, just even when you're going to a regatta or you're at home in bed or have just after a nap or before a nap, just start focusing on your race preparation and trying to have it the same every single time. Then when you get on the blocks, you know exactly what you're doing. Then you're going racing and you know what kind of a plan you're going to. If something doesn't go, to make sure that you're able to adapt to it straight away so that things don't get panicked and something's thrown out the window. You just got to be able to be adaptable to everything that's going to go on, because you got to be able to control the controllables. It's a pretty big one, really. And start with mental training. A lot of people do it, and sometimes it can calm people down, and other times it can actually rev people up. So make sure if people get a little bit pumped up by it, don't do it before bedtime, because you won't be able to sleep properly. And we all know sleep is the best thing for you with all the growth release. It's the best tool there is.
Mark, we're losing your audio somewhat. Can you ensure you've got everything else closed down on your laptop? So for me, on mental training, focus is the number one thing that I think novices find hard. Firstly, they find it hard to concentrate on a single thing for an extended period of time. And secondly, they find it hard not to over-concentrate on three or four things at once. And so, Elizabeth, when I'm coaching beginners, I do two things. One is I explain to them that it's really very hard to think of more than one thing at once, and encourage them to do a focus for at least 10 strokes on one thing, maybe their squaring or their inside hand, and to count those 10 strokes in their head. I then ask them to try and row for 10 strokes without thinking about anything, to clear the head and see if the movement pattern is still there at the end of 10 strokes. So then they come back and appraise whether the squaring is working. And if it is, then they can stop thinking about it for another 10 strokes. If it's not, they then take 10 strokes to think about it again. I particularly find women overthink what they're doing, and that inhibits their ability to move. So having said that, again, with beginners, I actually stop very frequently in the training so that they have time to not think about rowing and to relax the brain muscle before focusing and restarting, so that there's clear, intense periods of thinking and clear periods where no thinking or looking at the scenery or the ducks or whatever is encouraged. And in that way, you get them used to having a direct focus for short periods. And of course, you can lengthen that. Mark, what sort of mental training do you do formally as part of your own training with the squad?
I would use the visualization myself. I would find that very good. And it would be pretty much the only thing I would do if I was to visualize. I would generally just stick to visualization, and I generally let that be the dictator of my prep.
And you do that with your whole crew or just on your own? So while Mark's audio is hopefully coming back, we just have a short break and some announcements. Road Perfect has started to stock an exciting new product. Have you got lots of apps for rowing on your smartphone that you can't use because taking the phone in the boat makes you nervous? The answer is at hand. Row Perfect now sells the Rowing Boat Smartphone Mount. This is designed to securely hold your phone while you row. Built with strong aluminium and two long Velcro straps, the unit attaches either to a wing rigger or onto the deck of your boat. Now you can use sensor apps in the boat, but remember, a secure mount is essential because too many vibrations give false readings.
Hello.
These can come from something as minor as feathering the blades. So you don't want to have bad readings from your sensor apps. So get a Rowing Boat smartphone mount and secure the best environment for your phone apps in a boat. Go to rowperfect.co.uk/shop and search for Rowing Boat smartphone mount. Now, I'm back with Mark O'Donovan, who's an Irish international rower. Now, Mark, you were kind enough to tell me that this current season you've had some personal disappointments in your rowing. Would you be prepared to share this with the rest of the listeners so that they see what sort of insight they can gain from a professional athlete? What's happened this season?
So this season, it got off to a good start, and we had a great number involved in a lightweight men's sweep group, and I was one of them. And we had a bunch of athletes, and we were training, shoot, and then things started tailing off, and it started being pared down to the crucial members. And it was in September when we got a four together, and we started training a little bit and coming here and there together when we could, and we started getting as much preparation as we could and trying to get the miles in. And it was a little bit rough at the time, and I suppose things started to smooth out. But coming into the new year, we were getting much, much better, and our direction was going very good, and we started targeting, obviously, Olympic qualification. So that would be the European. It's actually only coming up in 2 to 3 weeks now. It's just before the Lucerne World Cup. We were hoping to target that regatta, and unfortunately, we started racing. Anyway, our first major regatta, which would have been World Cup one in Varese in Italy, things didn't go well, and we kind of knew, like, we had our performance was the same as any other day, and it just was way off the pace. And it's a hard thing to dive into, but it's the reality of it's not going to happen, you know. It's like, so that's another Olympic dream gone. So trying to qualify for the Olympics, and I tried to do it before in 2012. I was in a lightweight men's double with a Galway man, and we missed out on out in that. We were going through the season pretty well, but we didn't hit the nail on the head when we were racing in that qualification regatta. So, you know, the places are pretty limited, but we didn't end up getting it. So last year, we actually tried to get this lightweight men's fours project has been going really since 2008. The last bunch of Olympic athletes, they all quit. So things were being built up over the years, and there's only two of us about to do the double in 2012, and we failed to do that. And then we're trying to get a four together ever since. And the amount of people we've had coming in, I'm 100% positive we have the athletes in Ireland to do it. But due to commitment or maybe aren't able to produce. So I'm in there now. So third or fourth year race will be looking to go on to world champs again at the end of this year. So my last year's pairs partner, he's from Skibbereen. So you can't get a better man than a Skibbereen man. So you never go away from your own hometown. So we'll be looking to race that again. Work and effort, and even our not for a, we didn't provide goods, and that was that.
Tell us a little bit more about how the Irish national rowing system is organised. You mentioned that you have a national training centre. How are you all full-time athletes? Do you get paid? What happens?
So there's a bunch of athletes here, and we're all full-time. It's a big, massive centre built here, and it also is the home of the local club, Lee Valley. One man set it up, and he built the whole place, and we're very committed to the man who did it. I probably won't mention his name, but they all know who it is. Anyone who does know. We all train out a great stretch of water, and it's equipment, of course, and the gyms, and just top notch. And we would all train pretty much on the water at 8 o'clock, and we'd either do our two or three sessions in the morning. We could, it may be split sessions. We could generally be doing split sessions, so we could be doing one or two in the morning and having a break in between, and of course, and then having a good couple of hours of a rest in the evening and doing a further session or weights session, or else just off. So we'll always be split. And the other girls and boys would be coming and going as well. So we would, around the same time, but the coaches will go with their boats, obviously, and that may be different directions rather than everyone going off in the one direction holding hands. But we all times when it's needed.
So who's your current coach, and who are the other people who have helped you get to where you are now?
So my current coach is Noel Monaghan. He's a previous lightweight rower himself. He did very well for himself when he was rowing, and he just came back into the system. He had been trying the K1 first, and before that it wasn't so long when he was rowing himself. So he's our coach, and he's just looking after and daughter Skib lad in the pair, which is Shane. So he'd be the sole input of our boat, and he would have been looking after the four when the four was around, but that's no longer, so that's cut. And then we got the year was a funny year, because it started off, we had a great coach, John Holland, that took us up to European championships in a lightweight men's four. And once again, we don't have a great reputation at the moment. It flopped, so we had to end it there and then. So myself and Shane got back into the pair, and we were coachless for months, and we went to Lucerne, and we had the high performance director, who he was too busy to do any coaching, but he was looking after us with one of the other rowers, fathers. So have to have them look after us, but we had no coach. And then it was only 8 weeks out from the World Championships is when we finally got a coach for 2015, and his name was Sean Casey. Very well for us there.
That's so, like, Sean was the lifesaver that year.
Oh, geez. He was actually brought in to coach the heavyweight women's four. And we needed a coach at the time. So we pretty much got down on our knees and begged him to be our coach. And thankfully he did. So, and he did a great job with us, to be fair. He's based over, well, he was coaching Reading University over in England, and I'm not too sure, is he still over there or is he back home? But I'd have a lot of respect for him, whether or not he'd have a lot of respect for me after coaching me. Sometimes we're coachables, we go through so much equipment and so much, so many coaches. I don't know, is there something wrong with us or is it the system? But we won't answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit about rowing in Ireland. We've got a question from Bill Atkins, who's in the USA, and he says, what can be done to keep athletes in the Irish team mix after university?
So if we're to keep athletes in the team after, or keep athletes around or rowing after university, is the first thing, get them training straight away, get them to join a local club, or even if there's an alumni of the university, get them to feed into, so that they don't have time to think about partying and drink, because we all, well, over here anyway, generally lose our best athletes to nightlife. So if we can keep them rowing, fun, competitive environment, you'll have the best of both worlds. If you make sure you find out what their goals and aims are, would be another.
Yes, I do agree that knowing people's goals and aims can be a really useful way of keeping the focus. One of the things that most popular blog posts we've ever written is called Rowing and Alcohol, and it was written in response to a university rowing captain who said, how can I stop my crew drinking? And the answer is you probably can't, but you can set expectations of behavior and have some boundaries. And we came up with a few suggestions, which I hope he found useful. One of the things that next questions is from Geraint O'Sullivan, who's in Shoreview, Minneapolis, and he is at the Minneapolis Rowing Club. Now he says, as a diehard Irish rowing fan, without much to cheer about in recent years, what are the prospects of the Irish crews going into this Olympiad?
Well, I'm sure Geraint is a fine... as a diehard of rowing with a fine Irish name like that. So I suppose that's the million dollar question Geraint's asking there is how the boys and girls will. Currently, we have a lightweight men's double qualified and also a women's single, which will be going to the European qualifiers soon. So I don't know, Geraint, but I hope they get what they want and get what they deserve, and hopefully that could be some medals, because it's absolutely amazing just to see if there's any bit of success in rowing at all, even the just what it does to not only other teammates, it gives them belief, but also other club rowers and athletes. You suddenly become a role model for them, and people will start looking up to you and start doing what you're doing. And I hope that they do as good as they can, because it's going to do our nation proud and also their family and friends. So I can only wish them the best, and let's hope they can manage a medal. So you know, it's never out of question. You know, we've got some good crews, so we'll light a few candles, as they'll say at home.
I think you'll light a few candles in people's hearts as well. If you get any qualifiers, it will be brilliant, really, really encouraging. And for anyone who has ever watched rowing live, you can be sure that the Irish fans are well worth sitting next to, because they're always very, very enthusiastic and huge fun.
That would probably go back to the rowing and alcohol.
So our last question comes from Brian Purcell from Broxbourne in Hertfordshire, Broxbourne Rowing Club. And he asks, what is trending as new to enhancing performance?
Now, that's a good question. And new things coming. I'll say what, because if you can do the basics for a comp, much better than adding in all the fancy stuff. So if you can just collect the data that you'd need, be it in strength and conditioning terms, let's say a 3 rep max and a counter movement jumper. If it's in rowing terms, you want to collect like a morning monitoring, which would have your heart rates, your mood, your perceived sleep, your body soreness, and your previous training sessions, and then your time, and multiplied by intensity, you can get a stress, and that would be as scientific as, let's say, most people would need to go, because there's a lot of studies done on, let's just say, heart rate variability. Even if Brian starts looking into heart rate variability, one of the main key people who actually publishes all the articles for it, the RPE on a basic Google Sheets, you very easily to set up, and it's kind of perceived effort So it's not very invasive, more than, and time consuming, because once they're set up, it's there. Basics is pretty much what I would advise, and what I've been advised to as well, and do it right.
Well, that's extremely clear. So I'm going to thank Mark for his time. It's been delightful having a current athlete from a national team on Rowing Chat. I think you are a world first with us, Mark. And look forward to our next Rowing Chat next month. Please go into iTunes and give Rowing Chat a rating. We really, really value any feedback you may have, and you can send that to info@rowperfect.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter, we're @RowPerfect, and of course, subscribe to the Row Perfect newsletter. Now, Mark, please let the listeners know where they can get in touch with you if they have any more questions.
So I suppose my Twitter account is @MAntonyRC. So, or else if I'm Mark O'Donovan, I'm just there, a picture of me in a boat. Or else my email is mark.o'donovan@rowingireland.ie, and I'll get back to anyone who gets onto me, and I'll give you any information that, and I'm free to be contacted pretty much. So thanks very much for having me, and I really appreciate it, and I like being one of the first, so that's always good.
Brilliant. And I apologize for some of the sound quality during this broadcast.